brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TroubleCrimeConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurement Ali of ConjurementAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. And this week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, John St. Germain of Knoxville, Tennessee. And together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection. Using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. And you can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and then called into the show, well, you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-host, Miss Kat and Conjurement Ali. Miss Kat.
Hi. Nice to hear your voice, Tammy Lee. It's been a little few weeks. Well, how have you been since the last time we talked?
Well, I have been busy as a bee down here in the Florida Panhandle and missing y'all out in Cali, for sure. But I have been absolutely just as busy as I can be with my own work down here in Florida. I'm wrapping up, actually a three, I've got some work that I can't talk about, but that is coming to a conclusion and has concluded, I really should say, this past week that has been very successful, and it is what it is, but it's super duper duper. And I'm very proud of myself.
Great.
It actually came from you. And I know we have to go on because we've got so much to talk about today. But just the textbook and some great things that have come out of the Green Bible and the textbook. Fresh herbs and things with the springtime popping up, just some really good stuff and some success work as well. So looking for some great signs and some things are really popping around here.
Good.
So
all right.
I'm happy.
Good. Well,
right.
It sounds wonderful. It's always nice, too, when you're working with the fresh herbs of springtime. I like that myself.
Oh, yeah.
We're in the middle of a drought here, trying to keep everything springtime fresh, but we are very lucky. We have a well, and so we can get some well water because they've certainly put us all on restricted city water for drought, and we have city water down at the house, but the garden is watered with well water, 100-year-old hand-dug well, and every week I tell God, thank you, we still have water in the well. So we'll see how long that holds out. I've never seen this well to go dry yet, so we'll just have our hopes. And other than that, we're slowly recovering from the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. Boy, we had a great time, and we did miss you, Miss Tammy Lee. And we miss Conjurement Ali as well, and John St. Germain as well. For one reason or another, all three of you guys were not there, but we had a great time. For me, the best thing about it, I don't know, I got to introduce my new book, Paper in My Shoe, and Kai Armand introduced his new book, Deliverance, and Miss Phoenix introduced her new book, Hoodoo Shrines and Altars, and Professor Porterfield acted as our MC and introduced his new book, A Deck of Spells, and Deacon Millett was there as well, and he introduced his new book, Hoodoo Return and Reconciliation Spells. We had a lot of good workshops. Miss Robin led a money workshop. We had a lodestone panel discussion workshop with, Marin Graves, Susan Barnes, and I'm going to forget some of the other people, Miss Michael, and that was great. And Marin Graves, who is goes as Marin sometimes, she's a member of AIR. She brought a whole film crew along on Saturday. They were filming her for kind of a day in the life of a psychic project. And she graciously brought the whole film crew down. They interviewed us. We had a great time with them. It was really wonderful. And our own friend Alan Scott was also on the site. And Miss Elvira did a presentation on archangels and angels. And all in all, we had a really good time. Lots of things. And Coastside Conjure took, or sometimes known as Shelby O'Connelly, took some fantastic photos of the place, so you can check that out.
And an amazing opening ceremony as well.
Well, I was going to get to that. We had an amazing opening ceremony. That was my little husband kibitzing from the corner. So that probably was my favorite part of all. It was put together by Kai Armand, Andrea Weston, who is the spoken word artist who leads the Liquid Libation show, and Jamila Jones, a new friend of ours who is an actress from L.A., and they roped Charles Porterfield in at the last minute, and it was called The Voices of Hyatt, and this is something that came out of some heated discussions that have been going on via social media over the last 8 months. Is hoodoo black, or is it Irish, or is it white, or whatever? And we can laugh and we can joke, but in the end, it came down to let's see what's really there. And Andrea, Jamila, and Kai selected six people. Actually, I think there were seven because Kai fused two into one of his characters. Each of them did two characters from Harry Hyatt's transcriptions of his interviews with 1,600 black people about root work. And Charles Porterfield portrayed Harry Hyatt. Just quickly doing a little bit of, you know, and how did you get into this, and interviewing them, and using his own notes about what Harry Hyatt said about the interviews in the introduction. And it was a wonderful, wonderful presentation. It was moving. It was emotional. It really was something. And we hope to actually get a more lengthy version of it. And the performers are working toward actually doing Voices of Hyatt as a presentation piece. It's really beautiful. It's PBS worthy. It was probably the most unexpected and most amazing part of the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. It really showed the roots of the work. It was just stunning, just stunning. If you all go to my Facebook page, you'll see, if you scroll down a little ways, you'll see a picture of them all posed there in their costumes. They were all dressed in old-fashioned costumes. It was just lovely. So that was really great. Oh, and we had a banquet at the backyard restaurant in Forestville. It was just lovely. It was really, to me, it was the best Hoodoo Heritage Festival we've ever done. And I was about ready to retire and say I'm done with it, but it was great. Oh, and Daniel Smith ran the trains all weekend. Yeah, it was really something else. So that was my last week and why I wasn't on the air. And I'm really, really pleased with what came out of this this particular festival. I think we really touched a lot of bases and did a lot of grounded work. I think everybody who participated had a reason to be there. And I had taught 22 apprentices the week before, so I should have been worn out, but I wasn't. I was ready to go. And that's the most apprentices I've ever had. A little shout-out to Carol Wysocki von Strauss, the apprentice's apprentice. This gal is, she's dynamite, and she has come out to the apprenticeships and just come out to be our friend and come out to work in the shop, and we put her to work. And Myron Davidson was out, somebody I just always know and love. And Charles Porterfield brought his wife, Christy, and his wonderful mother, Gabrielle, and made new friends. It was just really, really great. So a lot of good things came out. So that's my time. We're now trying to play catch-up on trying to get packages out, because in doing all of that stuff, you can't teach 22 apprentices and make oils at the same time. You can't give a performance and do presentations and write books and pack boxes at the same time. So we're a little behind. It happens every year. All of you all who know and love us know why we're behind. We're doing our best. So that's it for me. And I'm sorry that took a long time to tell it all, but really a lot of people needed to have a shout out on that. So how about you, Ali? What's up with you?
Oh, you know, I've been terribly busy on my own travels, but I'm very happy to hear everything went wonderfully with the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. It seems like every year you say, and everyone says, that this was the best year and this was the best year. And to me, that's a sign that they get better and better.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that everything is moving in the right direction and that things are getting better and better. So I'm very happy to hear that. The people that I know that went have nothing but amazing things to say. And I look forward to the photos on Facebook so that I can live vicariously through those photos, because I did definitely miss being there this year. But, excuse me, but on my end, I spent... the reason I was unable to attend is I had previous travel engagements with client work and others, and that all went very, very well. So I've had a very successful past week, and now, like yourself, I'm in recovery mode. I'm back home and just trying to do a little bit of catch-up here.
Okay. Well, then I want to introduce our guest for the day. This is going to be an interesting show. Our guest is John St. Germain, who is the host of the Crystal Silence League Hour, and he is the voice of the Crystal Silence League. We're going to say, hello, John. How are you doing?
Welcome.
Hello, Miss Kat. And hello,
hi.
Tom Manali. Hi.
Hi.
Well, I'm doing okay. I had surgery, as you know, on the rotator cuff about a month ago. And I've been doing various healing rituals and routines and crystals and things on it, and I'm ahead of the curve. I went to physical therapy for the first time, and I was doing stuff. And they said, "That's really good, John." They were astonished by this, and so I just want to tell you this stuff really works, because they'll tell you that rotator cuff surgery is the most painful of the joint surgeries, and I've been keeping my pain under control without the use of this nice bottle of OxyContin that they gave me. After the first 3 days or so, I took quite a few of them, but after that, I didn't take any at all. And I don't take any before I go into physical therapy either. And that's, if you know what they do to you in physical therapy, that's quite remarkable. But this stuff actually works. It really does work. And that's why I couldn't attend the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, because I just can't travel with the way the arm is. But I'll try to be there next year.
Well, we hope to see you next year. Yeah, I know that rotator cuff thing just kind of came out of nowhere, and
It's no joke.
It's absolutely no joke. It's big surgery, and it has a long healing time. Well, I'm glad to hear you're doing well. Are you still reading for people? I mean, you're not laid up or nothing now.
I went back to work 3 days after the surgery. I went back to work part-time. I was doing readings, and I started doing work about 5 days after surgery. So I went right back to work immediately.
Good for you. Well, they can't keep John St. Germain down.
Oh, no,
no.
They
can.
No. I turned 55 Wednesday, and
for a
55-year-old, I really don't slow down very much. I just go and go and go and go and go. And,
good.
I've been working on the book in the downtime for the Crystal Silence League, and that's going very well. I'm very excited about the book, and very excited about the direction I'm going to take the show in for the next 6 months. And,
yeah, I want to talk about that book for a moment. Let's just give a moment to that.
Okay.
You are, and I've been following this through Facebook when I check in, you're working on a book about the Crystal Silence League and about Alexander Conlon's relationship to the Crystal Silence League. I was shocked and surprised at one time to see the word Tibetan Buddhism float by, and I'm like, whoa.
Tibetan yoga. As you know, many metaphysical movements arose in the 19th century, and Helena Blavatsky and Alcott brought a lot of Buddhism and a lot of Tibetan information, a lot of information from India. Madame Blavatsky spent a lot of time in Bombay, in fact, and information about yoga had been coming from India for a long time, you know, since the West Indian Bombay Company and British Bombay Company and things like that. Trade and military presence in India since the 16th century. So yoga was known. And Westerners had been going to India to learn Indian yoga meditation techniques for a long time. But English translations of the secret doctrines, like the Tibetan Book of the Dead, you know, the Bardo Total, and like that, had not been translated into English until just about that time, at the end of the 19th century. And so, you know, all the esoteric schools that were arising at that time became very interested in this. And in these doctrines, it describes Tibetan yoga, which, of course, came from India, and the Tibetans put their spin on it, of yogic practices that look very much like going into the silence, reception, and projection. And so my question was, did Claude Conlon have yogic training? And it's fairly obvious that he did. And where did he get it? And was he familiar with these manuscripts, especially one called The Epitome of the Great Seal? Because there are passages in there that are stunningly explicit about going into the silence and receiving telepathic transmissions from gurus in a receptive state. So I was very interested in that. I was wondering how far to go into that, but in a book that's an expansive overview of an incredible amount of material, I didn't want to go too far into that. So I think that may have to be in the second volume of intermediate material.
I'm gonna throw something out here because we are talking about something that's new to some people. So let me just run a little backtrack here. We're talking about the use of crystal balls and crystals in general, crystal points and so forth, which many people consider to be, oh, it's all New Age. But, of course, the use of these goes back a long, long way, and there are a lot of books about it and a lot of teachings about the use of crystals for scrying, for projection of thoughts, for reception of thoughts, for healing, and so forth. And one of the interesting things to me is that we don't have an exact documentary path, but we know that there was a man named William Walker Atkinson who was one of the major founders of the New Thought movement. Not the earliest founder, but he was one of the major expanders of the New Thought movement.
He was very influential.
He became trained in yoga. He had been at the Chicago World Columbian Exposition in 1892. He'd become influenced. They had a council of all religions, and he had become influenced, as others were, by Indian yogis who had shown up. He wrote some books under several different fake pseudonyms that were Indian names, but, you know, Swami Panchadasi and so forth. But his stuff is accurate. I mean, it's obviously accurate. His connection to Claude Alexander Conlon, the man who founded the Crystal Silence League, is tenuous and, unfortunately, scholarly or academically only tangentially supported. But I can tell you that I know that when Atkinson retired, he left Chicago. He had been born on the East Coast in Pennsylvania, lived in Chicago. He was a lawyer as well as a writer. And he retired to California, which is where Conlon was living. And Conlon was selling his books, because if you look in the back of Conlon's Crystal Silence League books, it says, I have these books by William Walker Atkinson, for sale. And when Atkinson died, it's very obvious that Conlon inherited or purchased his entire warehouse of published books, because he then began to sell them, and they are stamped. I have copies that I've purchased over the years from antiquarian book dealers that say, do not order these from William Walker Atkinson, you must order them from Claude C.A. Conlon. So we know that Conlon was a close friend of Atkinson, who was trained in Hindu yoga. But that's as far as we can trace it. But it's fascinating to me, and if you turn up any more, I will be forever in your debt.
I'm doing my best. I'm making basically a literary connection rather than a historical connection, because, you know, who knows? Mr. Conlon was a very private man.
Yes.
His finding factual details about his life has been a bafflement for scholars for a long time. There's speculation.
Right.
He's enigmatic, and he's private. And
they both had, you know, all quite enigmatic.
Yeah, I would say William Walker Atkinson was danged enigmatic too.
Yeah,
Which makes sense.
I have
which
to give
makes
myself.
If you are a grandmaster of yogic techniques, you would tend to be reclusive and private about your activities. You wouldn't make them very public. You wouldn't go around doing some of these techniques that presumably the yogis and Mr. Conlon and Mr. Atkinson could realistically perform. If you could really do what Mr. Conlon claims you can do in his books, you wouldn't go around broadcasting it.
Right, right. Well, that's the amazing thing about Claude Conlon's work. When you read it, it is so educated, and it stretches into so many different fields. Let's just talk for a moment here about some of the four branches. Can we just talk about the four branches of crystal work as Conlon outlined it? And I need to explain here, folks, although I said people used crystals long before Claude Conlon did, he's the first person who came up with this schema of the four branches.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. And, of course, the idea of reception and receiving was in New Thought, but he was the first one to say, you know, you can amplify and focus this through crystal balls. And when he did that, he took it to a quantum level. He was able to combine that with the astral tube to punch holes in space and do all manner of chicanery with it and take it to all kinds of levels. And but the four branches are very simply the first branch is seership or mediumship. The second is a projective work. And among projective work, you got to talk about going into the silence, which was very big in New Thought, and Mr. Conlon did very amazing things with it. The other branch is reception or induction work, and then you have the transformative branch or the healing branch. And these four branches form a hierarchy of learning. If you start studying these, you understand that you can't break them apart.
Mm-hmm.
Each one is part of the other. You can't pick one off and say, I'm going to master the visionary branch. I'm going to master the induction branch. I'm going to master the projection branch. They all complement each other because, for one thing, if you're projecting, you're also receiving. If you're focusing your mind on prosperity, or you're focusing your mind on goodness, and goodness is there in your mind, and you're projecting it, your mind is also receiving it on a lesser level than if you're actively perceiving it. But on a passive level, your mind is receiving that goodness, that thought. And so one part of your mind, one half of your mind is projecting, the other half is receiving. That can't be helped. If you're projecting, you're also receiving.
Mm-hmm.
Then at some point you can shut down the projection and then devote your entire attention to receiving. But you can't project without reception. And that's why I caution people, too, about this. Don't go into this work lightly, because whatever you project, you will receive.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into something like this with anxiety or fear or doubt or panic or anger or hate, and you say, I'm going to project love, you're projecting love and anxiety and fear and anger and hate.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, you can't do that. You have to exist in the pure spiritual state of whatever you're projecting, because don't take anything with you into the silence that you don't want coming knocking at your door sometime. Because anything you take into the silence, you will,
right.
It will come back.
Right.
It will surely come back. May I just
say something here too? Because there's something very important. The transformative branch, which is this fourth branch, involves healing, but it also involves the use of the crystal in magic. And this is something where we connect to our sponsor, the Lucky Mojo Curio Company. Most people think, well, I can use a crystal to see the future for seership. And some people understand using it to project thoughts, use it as an amplifier, and some people understand it to receive thoughts, but very few understand that you can use a crystal ball. And by a crystal ball, by the way, we don't mean only quartz crystal, nor do we mean crystal glass. It can be any kind of stone. The word crystal can even mean an opaque or figured stone, as used in common parlance. Mm-hmm. But the crystal can also be used to absorb negativity in the same way, and many people are familiar with using a hen's egg, that you roll the hen's egg over your body, take the negativity
yes,
up,
yes.
and then you break the hen's egg, and it goes away. Well, when you do that with a crystal ball, you have to get it out of the crystal ball, but they can absorb a lot more than an egg can, trust me on that. And I have spent a lot of time investigating, for instance, the use of crystal balls of ruby and fuchsite, and this is these are actual red rubies or pink rubies in a greenish blue matrix of fuchsite, and using a massage wand made of that same stone, and using the ball and rubbing the massage wand over a person, gathering the negativity pain through the tip, and then tapping it into the sphere, and it goes into the sphere. You hold the sphere in your left hand, it just holds it up. Then you just go and cleanse the sphere. And you can cleanse it in water, you can cleanse it in Florida water or Hoyt's cologne or whatever you would like to cleanse it in. I just use water.
Right.
And that is a renewable, instead of using an egg, and it works very, very well. Now, I learned this from studying the principles of Claude Conlon, and I pass that along. For me, the ruby and fuchsite is the one I prefer. Some people like other stones, but there are many stones that can be used that way.
In crystal lore, there are stones that are naturally associated with healing. Quartz and hematite and obsidian and labradorite and things like that. And if you have spheres made of those materials, you're going to heterodyne your projections, your transformative projections, simply by using those stones.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're healing with a crystal ball for yourself or someone else, it's quite a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
First you have to clear your mind of any negative thoughts. Meditation is very handy with that. And then you enter the silence and you project into the ball your thoughts of power and vitality and health. And then that ball becomes a radiant source of healing. And you can use it as a healing wand, or just roll the ball across and let the orb shine like a sun lamp. And which is the technique I've been using a lot on my shoulder, and you bask in it, and you hold the crystal near it, and you can quartz, tourmaline, citrine, calcite, any of those stones, and depending on the condition, you can tailor the stone to the condition, and it's very interesting in terms of chakras.
Mm-hmm.
When you start to think that chakras vibrate to certain stones and certain colors, it's very interesting when you start thinking about colored crystal balls, colored stones, and chakra work, which is a big section of the book I'm working on as well. I'm bringing chakras into the deal as well. And
I wanted to ask, but both of you have touched on this to a certain degree. I have a question for both of you, but before I get to the question, I just wanted to state something that I wrote in the chat room. What Conlinson and to a certain degree Atkison did is they created a system as well as really examine and explore the mechanics of practices that have been around for a while. I don't want people to think that this all came around, you know, at one time, but rather these practices existed in various different forms in a variety of different traditions. And what they did is they brought it together in a system while also exploring the mechanics through the metaphysics of their period. And so that's why you get this conversation of things like astral tubes, right? That's something that appears in Atkinson as well. And that's their way of really examining the mechanics of what they're doing, the spiritual mechanics, if you will. So what I'd like to ask both of you, because both of you touched on this, is the differences in crystals, right? For someone who's new to crystal type of work, what is a good starter crystal, whether it's a crystal ball or a crystal point, and what are some differences between the types of crystals and colors and the type of warp that they lend themselves to?
I'm gonna jump in on that and say right off that this varies not just by whether you're a beginner or a practiced user, but also it will have some bearing on your own personality and
Definitely.
Your own inclinations. Now,
mm-hmm.
I know people who work very well with glass crystals and some people who prefer natural. Also, I do want to say something that's been running in the chat room, and I always like to keep up abreast of that. The idea of washing stones. Some stones will dissolve in water. Selenite is one of them. Just had to say that because they've been talking about it in there. But the question
some will
is...
Some oxidize, too. Some
yes,
will rust and oxidize.
Right. Right, exactly. But starter crystals, types and work. Claude Alexander Conlon said just start with glass. Just start with a glass
yeah.
crystal. And he said, and don't get fancy on it, just get a 2-inch palm ball. A 2-inch palm
right.
ball is, we call them palm balls, it's just a size that's used. If you have very big hands, you might use a 2.5-inch palm ball. 3 inches, it's no longer a palm ball. It's becoming a little larger. And when you get to very large, they can become lap balls, and then finally table balls. But a 2-inch palm ball will be enough for many people. The little tiny 1-inch
yes.
marbles are often too small, although I will tell you that my first crystal was a Cleary marble, literally from playing the game of marbles.
Mm-hmm.
A 1-inch Cleary marble, and it was made of glass with little tiny air bubbles in it. How about you, John?
I find those little small 3/4 1-inch marbles, you can buy them in sets of 5. They're called chakra balls, and
mm-hmm.
they're not very expensive, and they're very good for objects of meditation. You put them in front of you, and they're very good for entering meditation on specific conditions. So they're useful for that, but for projection work, oh, no. But the 2-inch ball is a very good starter ball, and even for close work. And then I like the 3-inch ball. Or,
me too. I think the 3-inch ball
yeah.
is prettier.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's also, you can hold it in your hands without being
mm-hmm.
tired. I like to hold mine up even with the third eye when I do the projections between my palms. And with a 4-inch ball, that starts to get tiring. And if you do, and that's the thing. I caution people in the book. People go, so I'm going to get a crystal ball. They get something as big as a bowling ball. You know, they go, I'm going to get that thing because look how pretty it is. As, you know, as a prop in my occultic den. But sometimes some of this work, you're going to want to hold it in your hand and hold it in your lap. And those things are heavy.
Mm-hmm.
People will pick up one of my 3-inch balls, like my obsidian ball, and they go, wow, that's heavy. Yes, don't drop it, please. And they're heavier than they look. And so remember, there are going to be times when you're going to be holding this for a length of time, although I will tell you that most of my projections are no longer than 5 to 10 seconds. And I'll do a brief meditation, go into the silence, project, and out. But when you're practicing it, you're going to hold those things for some time. And you don't want them to get heavy, but those 2-inch palm balls are wonderful balls to work with. I work with them quite a bit, especially in terms of the chakras. Now, you were talking about how to start with this. There's a very simple system to know which stone to use. And this is very delightful. If you understand that the 7 chakras are associated with color, and if you understand what issues are related to the chakras, this is the issues that are related to the stones. So let's say the root chakra, that's located at the very base of your spine, that's the one that represents our instinctive drives, sex drive, the grounding, the sense of being grounded, basic survival, financial security, obtaining food and shelter. Those are all black and brown stones. And then you move up to the sacral chakra, which is just behind your navel. There's a central channel that runs down the body. It's, some people say down the spine, some say a little bit before. That's the one that you connect to others. It's anger and violence, creativity, the willingness to bring new people into your life, new experiences. That's orange stones. And you go up to the solar plexus. That's the pit of your stomach. When you get that sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach, that's confidence and self-esteem. That's why when you're in a dangerous situation, you get that kind of, like your guts turn to water. It's right there. That's yellow. And, so you go up to the heart chakra in the middle of the chest, and, you just go up the spectrum, basically. So when you're when you go up the chest, you know, that's of course, love and stuff. You start getting up to the heart chakra, you use green and pink stones. And jade, moss agate, pink mangalo calcite, rose quartz. Now, bloodstone is useful there because it has both green and reddish pink. So bloodstone's very good.
And unakite, my favorite unakite.
I love unakite. Unakite's a fun stone.
It's also green and pink.
Yeah, yeah, and you go find different stones. Then of course, as you move up, you go to the throat chakra. That's really communications and self-expression and truth. You know, you have trouble telling the truth. And I don't even mean lying. I mean, if you have trouble telling people what you need to tell them, you know, there's the throat chakra. And, again, you just move up the spectrum. You're talking about blue stones. And, man, there's a lot of blue stones. When you're talking about blue stones, you're, Jesus, go down the list, lapis lazuli, sodalite. There's blue kyanite. Kyanite comes in every color. You could go to every chakra with kyanite. Kyanite comes in every color. Then you're moving up to the third eye chakra. You can use purple stones, purple and indigo, purple kyanite, purple fluorite, kunzite, apatite. You got it. And the crown chakra, use violet and white stones, amethyst, alexandrite, shugalite, violet. For the white, use moonstone, selenite, calcite. Now there are other chakras, like the soul chakra that's above your head, the spirit chakra, the earth chakra below your feet. You know, that's another story, but you can also use white crystals, clear crystals for those. The earth chakra, you go back down to black. Now, you can do this with crystal balls as well. You can also work with tinted crystal balls and combine them with the crystals and use these. That's a good way, if you know what issues are related to the chakras, if you're having trouble with that, you can pick. Now, I know people that are very advanced rock workers are holding their heads going, no, but this is a good starting point, and you can refine it as you go. This is a very good starting point.
I'm going to say something else, too. There are other very simple ways to get into chakra and stones, and not trying to make an ad for my company, but we sell chakra pendulums. These have a series of stones. It also is a kind with a series of glass beads that are on chains, silver chain, and then they end with a clear quartz pendulum. Beautiful, and there are some made that you can wear as a bracelet. They have a toggle. We also have chakra wands, which are where the stones of the different chakras are placed on a stone wand, like rose quartz or whatever it may be, or some other stone. All right, well, that's all we're going to have time for now. So thank you very much. We're going to go to our first reading in just a moment. This is Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. You're listening to me, Kat Ironwood, my co-host, Conjurman Ali, and our special guest, John St. Germain.
And y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali. And this week's very special guest, John St. Germain, will be right back. And we'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first new client, who is actually calling back in for us, and this is a loyal listener calling back in from area code 501 from Conway, Arkansas. This is Brenda. Brenda, are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Great. Well, thank you so much for tuning in for so many years. And I understand that you are not only a loyal listener, but you are one of Miss Kat's students and also one of her clients. So thank you so much. And I'm going to go ahead and read a brief situation of certainly what's going on here for our host and Miss Kat here for you, okay? And she writes, My live-in boyfriend, Christopher, and I have been together for 7 years. He was diagnosed with colon cancer this past week. I'm a student of Ms. Katz and am in such turmoil at this moment that I do not feel emotionally or spiritually strong enough to handle this on my own. I would like a reading on this situation as well as root work advice. I would also appreciate a recommendation for a reader who specializes in healing work. Turning it back over to you.
Oh, dear, Brenda, and I know who you are.
Brenda.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, and I know who he is. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
That must have been just a horrible shock. Oh, my gosh.
It's a nightmare. Yes, it is.
Oh, well, first of all, let me have a little moment here because I know you guys pretty well, and I'm just so sad to hear that. Well, let's see what we can read and see if you know. May I ask you just a couple of questions because
sure.
Our listeners won't know. About how old is he?
He's 43 and I'm 45.
Diagnosis, was this done on a routine screening or was there symptoms or what happened?
He was having some issues and had a CAT scan and we went in for a colonoscopy just this past Monday. And that's when it was found. And then we saw a surgeon who recommended an oncologist that we'll see next week. So it's all happened pretty fast. It is in his liver. So it's stage 4.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
I just have a very heavy heart about this. And, you know, when you call a reader and the reader is expected to say, yeah, this is all cool. You know, this is good. It'll be all fine. But I just...
No, I know.
It's bad. I had a very, very bad feeling about this. His young age, I knew he was very much younger than me. And I'm not going to... I'm just going to tell you the truth. So I just cut the cards, and the card that came up was the death card. I'm not kidding. All right?
Okay.
I hate to say it, but this is not
good.
No,
I need the truth. I want the truth. I need answers.
Yeah. I got the card was the death card. The second card I got was the lovers. And the two of you are such a wonderful couple. And I love you both so much. And I can see that your love for each other is really, really strong. But stage 4 colon cancer that's in his liver at that time period, that's going to be a fight. And the death card is there. And I'm not... You know, I'm not going to pull a punch on it, okay? That's just what
okay.
I see.
No, I don't want you to.
And the third card is the Ace of Cups, which is a card of
okay.
blessings. So, the death card is a card of death, and it does not mean that there's going to be an easy escape from this situation. We see in the card a skeleton dressed in black armor, and he has
right.
a black flag, and he's riding on a white horse, and he's just walking over people down by a river. There's a little boat on the river, and there's mountains in the background and some two watchtowers, and the sun is coming up. And the sense is that if these people live through the night, they'll be okay when the morning comes. But those who die will die in the night. And there's a bishop who is praying and trying to save the lives of some young girls that are by him. And one of them is fading already, even as he prays for her, and the other one is still looking very vital and may make it. And we don't know what death is going to do. Death just comes riding. And we don't know who's going to make it and who's not, but it says that death is upon him. The sun is shining, though. As the sun comes up in the morning, it's going to be, if he makes it through this, he does have some time ahead of him. And prayer is what's indicated when the death card comes calling, you know. Now, the next card is the lovers, and it's a card that shows Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they are naked and they are beautiful together. They have an angel over them, and they've been driven out of the Garden of Eden. So this is the beginning of their worldly life. The innocence is gone. The worldly life has begun. They still love each other. They are the foundation of all mankind, but they are being guarded and watched over by an archangel who says, good luck, but they also have so much love there are issues with the Lover's card, but always the Lover's card is a good card, one of sticking with your partner, not giving up, always showing love between one another, and it's a card that shows that love can never die, even under the hardest times. The third card, the Ace of Cups, shows the hand of God coming out of a cloud, holding a golden cup, a chalice. And out of the chalice pour five streams of living water, and a dove of the Holy Spirit comes down into the chalice, and the water flows down into a pool of beautiful lotus flowers, water lilies, which stand for tranquility and peace. And so this is a card that says, be at peace, be, you know, of course prayer is called for. And this card also often relates to the 23rd Psalm because of the line in the 23rd Psalm, my cup runneth over, this cup runs
right.
over. And so it's about blessings. So it says there are blessings that will come out of this, but they're going to be very deep. There's going to be some deep work have to be done here. It may be that the surgery that's going to be done, and I presume they're going to have him on chemotherapy too, will be helpful. But stage 4 cancer does not is not a thing that you can say, I'm going to walk away from this as I was. Okay?
Right.
So that's the reading I have, and I'm very, very sorry. It's a dark opening. There's a lot of love. There's a lot of companionship and strength, and there are blessings to be gained from this. So we will all hold both of you in our thoughts, and him especially. I'm very, very sorry to hear this. It's devastating news, and a young man of his age, that would indicate that probably it's a fairly aggressive cancer. And and that's what I have to say. I'm so sorry. All right. Let me turn this over to John and see what his reading is and how he reads it.
Well, I read with the Lenormand Oracle, and I'm going to tell you that it's like an upside down pyramid reading. It uses 5 cards, and the first row shows mice eating cheese. Then it shows the heart and the ring. Well, the mice eating cheese I'm interpreting as the cancer, and the heart and the ring shows the strength of the relationship. So, what I'm thinking is that the two major things in his life is this relationship and this cancer. And the relationship is taking precedence in this. So he gains his strength from the relationship. So you, Brenda, you're his rock. You know, you're the focus of his life. In my experience, when one person in a bond that deep, when two people are in a bond that deep, it's like you're one person. Whatever happens to one person happens to the other. And I'm going to address that in a minute. The second row shows the rider, the man on the horse, and the stars. That's the progress. So he's heading, he's leaving body and heading into spirit. His soul, his mind, his essence is leaving the physical and going into the spiritual. So you're going to see him pull away and detach from solid reality, and going he's going to go to heaven. You know, before his body does. So he's going to go into the spiritual realm. You'll see parts of him just kind of go off, and when he does that, let him. You know, don't try to pull him back. Let him. Does it make sense? He's doing that now.
Yes.
So he's riding off into the sunset, and so this is a happy thing. He's getting ready. That's good. A lot of people fear this. He does not. His spirit does not fear this. And the final one is the bouquet. And you know, the bouquet is a happy thing. It's, you know, someone comes up and gives you a bouquet of flowers. You go, hey, that's great. So I want to tell you that. In my opinion, his death is going to be easy. You know, comparatively, my mom died of lung cancer. And, you know, she died completely painless. The cancer ate through her esophagus, and she bled to death in 3 seconds. She didn't even know what hit her. She was talking to me. She passed out. Within 3 seconds, she was dead. And if you think about lung cancer, you go, wow, that could have been a lot worse. So I believe that your lover's death is going to be easier than it could be. It's going to be an easy death, an easier, you know, compared to, I mean, cancer is not good, but the ending is going to be peaceful. He's going to be blessed at the end. What I would like to recommend for you is to get, give me a minute. It's such a sad situation. I'm so sorry for you. Get three stones. And these three stones are bronzite, heliodor, and a fire opal. And heliodor is a wonderful stone. It's a wonderful crystal. When you see this thing, it's a yellow, clear crystal. And if you hold it up to the sun, it will fracture that light in a million directions. And heliodor restores your sense of life. You know, it gives you the will to live. And I want you to get two of each and make a bag for yourself and a bag for him and put these in a bag. Fire opals give you fire. It restores your spirit, you know, that desire to fight. And bronzite is just a really good, it's B-R-O-N-Z-I-T-E. It's a bronze-colored stone, and it looks like armor. You know, it's like that bronze armor. It takes you back to that Paleolithic time when you went out and you killed things. You went out and fought the saber-toothed tiger for food. It gives you that primitive strength to carry on. I believe those three stones, put them in two bags, pray over them. Those two bags will represent the two of you. And when he does pass, let him take that bag with him. And you keep the other one as a connection for the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Well, you're welcome.
All right. Well, I'm very, you know, very concerned that the advice we're going to give you is not going to be a way to cure him. And I'd like to turn this over to Ollie, who's going to give some root work advice in addition to these readings. And Ollie, what do you have to say?
Thank you, Kat. And I definitely feel for you, Brenda. I know it's a very difficult time that you're going through. So my hearts and prayers are with you and your loved one. What I would recommend is setting up a healing altar, even if the readings indicate a transition is on its way and he may be already on his way out. I don't think that means you shouldn't be doing healing, because healing work can help with that transition. Healing work isn't always about necessarily recovery or curing, but sometimes about smoothing out the difficulties. But I'm a firm believer of trusting in God but tying up the camel, which means you still do this work, right? Put your faith in God,
right,
put your
faith
in what happens. So I would recommend setting up a healing altar here. I highly recommend what you do is you take a photo of him from before he was ill, a photo where he was happy and healthy and vital and strong. And what you're going to do is you are going to, on the back of that, you're going to put an envelope in the picture frame. In that envelope, you're going to have a letter that you have written to God. It's a prayer, right? Directly from your heart. I want you to just write that thing out, okay? Now, it doesn't need to be fancy. It doesn't need to have any unique form. Just a letter from your heart directly to God. And you're going to put that letter into the envelope along with a little bit of Althea. You're going to put some Solomon seal root, golden seal. You're going to put some bay, basil. And I also want you to put some life everlasting, which is very good for healing work. And you're going to put that in the back of the picture frame, close the picture frame up. Set this up on a surface. This can be a drawer or a bookshelf, wherever you want, with space that you can work. You're going to put that on either side. You're going to set up candle holders, and you're going to put white candles that you've dressed with healing oil. Okay? And before the photo, you're going to put a small heat-proof dish or a thurible or a censer that you can use to burn incense. You're going to put some charcoal and you're going to smoke some Althea, which brings in healing spirits and is great for a situation like this. It'll also draw in the helpful ancestors. And what you're going to do is you are going to light those candles, you're going to light your incense before the photo, and you are going to recite Psalm 105, 106, and 107. These three psalms, I would also throw in Psalm 23 because of the card miscapitled, but these three psalms in particular, 105, 106, 107, are the three healing psalms that are called to restore, revitalize. In medieval psalmic practices, it was often used to reduce fevers and other forms of illnesses, but it can be used here to help heal, to smooth out difficulties, and to bring on a smooth transition if called, if need be, but also includes Psalm 23. This is simple work. It's work that if you do faithfully and with devotion and with commitment, you can definitely improve the situation in whatever form that takes, whether that means making his last days comfortable and full of life, or it means, you know, a miracle. This is the type of work that you should be doing. And you can also, excuse me, incorporate John St. Germain's stone work in the bags with this as well. You can keep your two stones on that altar, your two matching bags on the altar there before you give one to him and you care of one on yourself. That's what I would recommend on my end. I'm going to see if Kat or John C. Jermaine have any other additions that they can throw in here. And again, I'm very sorry for the difficulty that you're facing. You're definitely going to be
thank
in my
you.
Prayers.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think those are very, very good works. I don't know what your religion is, but I know that those who are Catholic will call on St. Jude for cases otherwise despaired of. And I was introduced to working with a non-saint, but he's a beatified person, named Dr. Gregorio Hernandez. And I'm not a Catholic, and I don't work with St. Jude, but I do work with Dr. Jose Gregorio Hernandez, who's a very kindly spirit. He was a doctor in life. He was from Venezuela. And I have called upon him for help with people who are dealing with doctors, because he was a medical school professor as well as a very saintly man. And I would ask him to help the doctors. In other words, to have the doctors be at their most inspired, to make the best diagnoses, to be the most deft and dexterous in their work, and to never make a mistake, because he, Dr. Jose Gregorio Hernandez, is watching as a professor of medicine. And his specialty when he was alive was diagnosis. At the time, he was the first person who introduced a microscope to Venezuela. So that kind of work is something that he delights in helping doctors do. Okay. How about you, John? Do you have any more ideas?
Yes. In fact, altar work with stones can charge the stones. One of the things you can do is put them on an altar and charge them with spiritual energy. Stones remember. They remember the experiences. They remember emotional experiences. That's why prayer works so well. And it's an excellent idea to have an altar such that the devotion and the love and the prayer and experiences that you put into it, the stones will remember it. And as you carry that bag with you and you hold it and you have memories, those stones will help you remember.
All right, all right. We're going to have to cut you off right there, John, because we're coming up on our time. This is the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your host, Catherine Ironwood, and Conjurman Ali, and our guest today, John St. Germain of the Crystal Silence League. We'll be right back and take another reading from our next caller.
And y'all, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next new client. And our next new client is calling in from the Bronx, area code 347. This is Veronica. Veronica, are you there, caller?
Yes. Hi.
Great. Hi. Welcome to the show. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and read the brief synopsis of your situation for our host today. And she writes, I was in a relationship with an old lover. Our relationship ended on bad terms. I want to know, did he truly love me? And does he feel bad that we ended? Does he want to continue a relationship with me? I also want to know, what does my future hold in the workforce and the love world? Thanks. Turning it back over to you.
All right. Well, Veronica, we can only handle one question per caller, so we're going to go to the biggest question. These are short readings. If you call in again and about your work, we'll do that some other time, okay? And we'd be glad to do it. All righty. So I'm going to turn this over to Conjure Man Ali.
Thanks, Kat. I have a couple real brief questions before I do the reading. And I'm surprised that Kat didn't ask it, so I'm going to steal her question, if that's all right, which is, what sign of the zodiac are you, and what sign of the zodiac is your lover?
I'm an Aquarius, and he's a Libra.
Aquarius and Libra, okay. That's not a bad combination at all. And how long were you guys together, and how long have you guys been apart?
We were together for a year.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been
apart? Since October of last year.
Okay. All right. Well, I've pulled three cards here, and what we're going to do is I'm going to go over these cards, and I'm going to explain how they pertain to your situation. First and foremost, a Libra and Aquarius is actually a pretty good combination. Aquarius gets on quite well with them, and Aquarius gets on quite well with, which is the only other, you know, zodiac sign that Aquarius is really good with is Gemini. But Libra is good. The first card that I have here is the Nine of Wands. The Nine of Wands shows me a man or an individual leaning on a staff. They've got a bandage on their head. They're exhausted. They're tired. They have fought the good fight. And now they are resting. But they cannot rest too easily because they look over their shoulders and there are staves on the horizon that are following after them. This is really speaking to the relationship that you and him had. This, towards the end, it was one where there was strife, emotional especially, and he felt exhausted and tired and drained, and so did you to a certain extent. And there was more struggle than need be in a relationship. And right now, where he's at is he's a state of it's over, right? It's a state of recovery. But he's not fully recovered from the way things ended. I'm getting a sense that the relationship, the way that you two separated, has had an impact on him as well as on you. I mean, you broke up in October and you're asking now in May about this. So it's, you know, some time has passed, but you're still curious. And this goes to how things ended. There was it's had a deep impact on both you and him. There are still a period of licking wounds going on here, both for him and both for you. The emotional repercussions of the breakup will be felt for a little bit longer, and healing work is definitely called on here. He does look back, meaning that he does think of you from time to time, and he does think back on the relationship, but there's hesitance there, there's doubt there, there's some, you know, he's looking askance, there's a little bit of doubtfulness there, and there's also remembering not just the good times, but also remembering the difficulties that were there. So it isn't a look back, oh, I wish we were back together. He looks back and he goes, yeah, I remember the good times, but he goes, man, I also remember the struggles. So that's what I see with the Nine of Wands. And this leads me to the where he is right now, and that is the Eight of Cups. The Eight of Cups shows us a man in a red cloak walking away from golden goblets, and he's walking into a barren, desolate backdrop, you know, with craggy mountains. And the moon is watching this man walk away from these golden cups. He is moving on. This is not a man who is returning. This is not a man who is going to be inclined towards reconciliation or inclined towards a long-term healing between the two of you. Now, that doesn't mean he's gone completely. You may find that he appears in the future once more, and I'll tell you why with the third card. But even if he does, do not get your hopes raised that that means reconciliation. This man is emotionally moving on. Now, that doesn't mean he's moving on to greener pastures, quite the opposite. I think he's carrying with him a burden, and he's carrying with him a heavy emotional burden that will continue to haunt his future relationships. It's not a happy future for him. The reason I say there is a chance there is some reconnection, or you may hear of him or from him again, if you have not already but will soon, is the third card is the King of Cups. The King of Cups shows us the man, a royal man, sitting on a throne in the middle of the ocean. Now, this means that the tide may come and go. This man may return back in your life for a short period of time. You may hear from him, he may contact you, he may reach out to you, or if you're in contact already, that's a great time. But do not take that as an indication of his return as a lover, because this is the only King card whose foundation is completely unstable. He's not on ground, he's in the middle of a rocky ocean. So he will come to you in a time where things are difficult for him, and that's him fulfilling his own needs. But that does not mean he's ready to come back and open up to you again. In this case, all three cards are really speaking to where he is emotionally, and they are not good cards that indicate reconciliation, nor are they cards that indicate you should try for reconciliation. This tells me that, well, yeah, there may be some small unfinished business between the two of you, that he's moving on, not necessarily for the best on his end, but it's time for you to recognize also that this relationship has gotten to the point emotionally where reconciliation may not be feasible. And instead, it's time to work on some healing work, to lick the wounds and to move forward, to not look over your shoulder anymore at what was and look to what will be. So that's what my reading is. And I'm going to turn this over to my colleagues and see if they have what their divinations reveal.
All right. Well, that was very interesting. All right, let's see if John can do us a reading on this situation and how his agrees, disagrees, or sheds new light on the situation.
Well, gosh, Conjurman Ali really nailed this guy. Veronica, it's a mess. It's a mess. I want to ask you, but I think I know. Did he have trouble holding jobs? He had trouble holding jobs and. He had trouble planning for the future. Every time you wanted to plan about building your nest, every time you wanted to plan about a commitment, he would back away and he would get angry.
Yes.
Yeah. Because the closer you got to a real commitment, the more he would get angry. But he blamed you. He would say it was your fault. You made him angry. You made him mad, I think. Does that sound like the way he talked?
Yes.
Yeah, but he wouldn't take responsibility for it. He wouldn't say, you know, it's me. You know, I messed up. But he's moved on. He has moved on because you were figuring him out. You were starting to see his pattern, and you were calling him on his BS. And so
he's
moved on. Yeah, right? You figured him out, and so he's moved on. At first, he was really like a knight in shining armor. You're a damsel in distress. He's not in shining armor, and he rescued you. And then you realize, oh no, this guy. Now he can't hold anything together. And then you start figuring him out, and he goes, uh oh, time to run. So you know you're better off without him. And he's in a relationship right now. I think what I see in the second row is the ring, the heart, and the anchor. And so he's in another relationship right now. He's picked somebody else to take care of him. And the next row, it shows me the stork and the letter, and I take that as a message that you're going to meet your companion. Storks mate for life. And the picture of the stork I have, it shows the stork in the distance coming to the foreground to meet the other one, and the other stork's waiting, and that's you. So you're going to get a companion. You know, you got to be patient, and you're going to get the message. Do projection work, as we say. Send it out there. Say, love, come to me. I'm ready for you. I'm waiting for you. I'm tired of these guys that don't do me any good. I'm waiting for you. We're here. I'm here. You're there. Come to me now. I'm ready. Send it out there like that. And then the last card is the dog, and the dog doesn't mean what it means now. Back in those days, the dog is a loyal, trustworthy companion. You know, attract that man, attract him to you. I'm done.
Okay. All right. Well, that was short, sweet, and to the point. All right.
That's me, short, sweet, and to the point.
Okay. Well, let me see if I can throw some root work into the breach here then. So the reading senses that I have here, and this kind of accords with my understanding of what the two readers told you, is that he is not going to be coming back. The question, did he truly love you, seems to have been answered not exactly yes, more like he was a little more self-centered than loving, and that he had other opportunities in mind and wanted you to fulfill a certain role that was not really good for you. So I know it's cold comfort, but it doesn't seem like he's coming back. So what I'm going to do, or if he does, it doesn't seem like it would be of any use to you. It would just happen all over again. So I'm going to try to come up with some root work that will prepare you for something new. Now, there are many, many spells to find new love, and I've told many people of them, and I don't want to be repetitious, but I'm going to run through a few of them, and maybe one of them will seem right to you. Number one, cut and clear. Simplest way to do this is to take a piece of paper, write all of his good qualities on one side, one column. Take a paper and fold it in half lengthwise and then unfold it. That gives you two columns. You're going to cut it along that fold line later. In one column on the left, let's say, you put all the good things, all the good qualities, everything you liked about the man. On the right side, you put all the bad qualities. Make them even. They should be even. And that means that if you have to borrow some good qualities from another lover that you had previously, you can add them. It doesn't only have to be about him. It can be every good lover you ever had. And then on the other side, every bad lover. So if you have to borrow some bad qualities, you can put those in too. But you want the two lists to be even. And then you're going to take a pair of scissors or pinking shears, which are the scissors that cut a zigzag, and you're going to cut right down the middle. Now, most people will draw a little line down that middle with cut and clear sachet powder on top of cut and clear oil or lemon juice or something that expresses the idea of cutting. If you use lemon juice and you use scissors, clean your scissors off afterwards. You don't want to have them all acidified with lemon juice. But cut and clear oil works just great. And you just cut down the middle and separate those two papers. You're going to need two little candles, and they can be tea lights. They can be little 4-inch candles. One is white and one is black. You can dress them with cut and clear oil. To cut means to cut them away. To clear means to clear the decks for something new. And you're going to have the two candles, one black, one white. The list of things you don't want, you fold away from you, and you burn it up in the black candle, which has been dressed with cut and clear oil. The list of, and you can inscribe his name on it because you're going to burn him out of your life. The list of things you want to keep, for instance, he was good looking, maybe brought you flowers on your birthday, maybe had a good car, whatever it might, what you liked, those things you want to keep, you're going to fold them up, fold the paper towards you, and you're going to just warm that paper over a white candle that's dressed with cut and clear oil, and you're going to write on it, with a needle, a point, my future husband, or my next lover, or whatever you want to say. And you're going to warm that, keep it, put it in with your underwear, and you'll find someone new. That's the simplest form of a cut and clear. Now, people will add things to it and treat it different ways, but that's the simplest way. I have a much more complicated one on my website. You can find it at luckymojo.com/cutandclear.html. All lowercase, all words run together, cutandclear.html. That is a good spell, a very good spell. I'm going to tell you another spell that I would like you to do too. This is more about your personal self. You're leaking a little bit of emotion still. This happened in October and you're still thinking about the guy. I'm thinking you might want to do a black walnut bath. So you get nine black walnuts, or you can just get nine walnuts at the grocery store. Those would be Persian walnuts, not black walnuts. And you would boil them up in water and it'll make a brownish water, and you're going to pour that over yourself. Now, there's many ways to do it. Some people say, don't do it in your bathtub. It'll stay in your bathtub, and it might. Some say, do it outdoors under a moon. Do it outdoors at the dark of the moon. Do it outdoors naked. Do it outdoors in a white chemise that you'll stain all over. There's many ways to do that black walnut spell. But you're going to basically wash down, rub down, pat down with black walnut water or just regular old walnut water. And that's also at the Cut and Clear page. And when you do that, that will kill your residual feelings for him. I would do it before I do the Cut and Clear, just to have it over with, then do the Cut and Clear. And then the last thing I'd like you to do is to do a nice bath to bring in new love. So there are many ways to do that, but one of the nicest kind of baths is a bath in which you put a big bathtub full of water, you put in a cup of milk, maybe a half a cup of honey, in it. Some people will use a honey or sugar scrub on their body instead. And you can look online how to make a honey sugar scrub. You just take sugar and honey, scrub your body with it. You want to add some herbs to it. Rose petals is always good. Cardamom is good. Juniper berries bring new love. And there's a lot of those. You can read more about the kind of herbs that are used to draw new love at a webpage called luckymojo.com/hoodoo at a glance. And that will give you some ideas on that. All right, well, those are my recommendations. Now, let me turn this over to John and see if he has anything else to add in the way of root work.
Nothing. Well, I have some crystals and stones. I might like you to look at, Veronica. And these are not very expensive. These are good workhorse, run-of-the-mill stones. If you can get you a sunstone and a pink quartz and a piece of aventurine, and just carry these with you as touchstones. You can put them in a little bag. That's very nice to do. And when you do your uncrossing, you can have these handy. They remember things. Do these during the ritual, and I will tell you that the sunstone will help you regain your joy, and the pink quartz will help you attract love, and the aventurine helps your heart. It helps ground you and helps your heart. So those three stones, they're inexpensive stones. These are just your run-of-the-mill stones, but they're very powerful. And those three together complement each other. They're complementary stones. And I'm going to talk about that in my book. Get those and make a little bag. And now and again, just hold those in your hand and touch them. The three stones, you can rattle them together in your hand. Get tumbles. Don't get raw. Get tumbles, the shiny ones. And that should work out very well for you. That should make you feel better, help you feel better over time.
All right. How about you, Ollie? Do you have any ideas?
Yeah, what I would say is once, you know, you've got all these great suggestions about healing and what to do next, I think part of this is also getting back out there and really drawing in the right person to you. A really simple thing to do is to anoint yourself with the right oils when you go out. A little bit of bewitching and look me over to get them, you know, to get eyes to turn towards you. Come to me and love me to draw the right person. And I also recommend, in addition to the stones, going to the roots. Queen Elizabeth root is something that you should be working with very heavily and going forward to both recover your strength, to heal, to bring out your own queen, and to draw yourself the right lover.
Oh, those are really good. Queen Elizabeth root is fantastic for a woman who wants to, you know, express loving power. Look me over can be added to anything else and make it, you know, more attraction is another one too. I like the combination of look me over, bewitching, attraction, Queen Elizabeth root, great stuff. All right. Well, you guys are listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. We hope we were able to help. I'm your host, Kat Ironwood, with my co-host, Conjure Man Ollie. Our special guest is John St. Germain of the Crystal Silence League. And we'll be back after these announcements with our free spell.
You are listening to another fine production of the LMC Radio Network, whose art and information may be found on its webcast shows. The LMC Radio Network is a community radio alliance of metaphysical, spiritual, inspirational, and political justice broadcasters, spanning a wide range of topics. On Mondays, get ready for Candela's Corner, Starring Candelo Cambisa and Malik Cambisa, this is the voice of authentic Cuban polo and Dominican sanse in the United States, with special guests representing the entire range of African traditional and diasporic religions. You can hear Candelo's Corner Monday evenings from 5 to 7 Pacific Time. On Tuesdays, a pair of outstanding hosts point the way to essential values. First, on the Crystal Silence League Hour, John St. Germain provides spiritual guidance in the practical use of crystals and crystal balls for the development of mental concentration, mind power, divination, and telepathic communication. His show airs Tuesday evenings from 5 to 6 o'clock Pacific Time. Once you have your bearings, engage in activism and social justice in the streets with Beverly Smith. Beverly brings listeners front-page reports on the ongoing struggle for racial, gender, and social justice, shedding much light on civil and social rights issues. Her cry for freedom begins at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and inspires us for 1 hour. On Wednesdays, Andrea Weston's Liquid Libations pour forth to bless us with poetry, short stories, and spoken word performances. If you are a poet or someone who simply enjoys the beauty and power of words, then Liquid Libations welcomes your participation. Call in and read your work. Listen for Liquid Libations on Wednesdays from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. On Thursdays, from deep in the heart of Texas, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield. In a variety show laced with country wit and biblical wisdom, the silver-tongued professor shares his knowledge of roots and delivers the lucky numbers. From 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time, there's no end to the surprises. And on Saturdays, Kai Armand broadcasts On Sacred Ground, a tapestry of our times, comprising history, ethnography, and shamanism, featuring the voices of the land and the deceased, aided by scholars, spirit workers, and environmentalists. Kai's show airs from noon to 1:30 p.m. Pacific Time. All shows on the LMC Radio Network are sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, located in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. Add 3 hours for Eastern. Tax and license may apply. Train departure times and Burma Shave signs subject to change without notice. LMC.
And y'all, here we go to the freestyle section of the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. And we're John St. Germain is going to take it away, and he's with johnstgermain.com in Knoxville, Tennessee. John, take it away.
Thank you, Tammy. What I'm going to do is teach how to make a protective amulet. People like to – they call me all the time and say, hey, I need to be protected from negative stuff at work and people throwing stuff at me and stuff like that. It's very easy. You need a piece of red jasper, and red jasper is such a common stone. Sometimes it's included in gravel mixes for architectural purposes. So what you need is a piece of red jasper, small enough to carry, a 6-inch orange candle, some crossroads dirt, and you just go to a crossroads where two roads intersect and get some dirt from four corners. You need a good handful of that, a glass of spring water or a bottle of it, and it's not that hard to get these days. They bottle it and sell it to you. Lucky Mojo Uncrossing Oil and Lucky Mojo Uncrossing Incense. And you make a mound of the crossroads dirt on a plate, bury the red jasper beneath the soil after dressing it with the Lucky Mojo Uncrossing Oil. You place the candle in the center of the mound of dirt, and you might need a little stand to do that safely. Dress the orange candle with Lucky Mojo Uncrossing Oil and light it. And as the candle burns, recite one of the psalms appropriate to your condition, which is Psalm 3, verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. Or Psalms 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now, if you're working with your chakra, you raise power from the root chakra and use it to fuel your intention. And you concentrate your intention into this fiery blaze and you focus it into the jasper. And when you feel it build a critical mass, you let the power explode from the stone in every direction, sending confusion to your enemies and dispersing any and all oppressive conditions in your immediate vicinity. And once you sense the spell work on its way, let it go. Don't fret over it. Let the work do its work. And when the candle's finished burning, light the incense and thoroughly smoke the piece of jasper, then rinse it in the spring water. And you can carry that talisman with you for protection from negative energies or attempts to throw hex on you.
Wow. That was amazing. And look at the way that worked, folks. That used all four elements. Folks,
yeah,
that's
I noticed
really,
that.
That's a real magician spell. So the stone is the element of earth, as is the
crossroads dirt,
right? The candle is the element of fire, and the oil and the spring water are the elements of water or liquid, and the incense is the element of air. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You're protected from all quarters.
That's right.
Protected.
Wow.
Yep.
I love that. It's a great way to put some... put some power into a stone that's already a very powerful stone.
And jasper has associations that are very good for an amulet. It's a stone of restitution and justice and getting even and making righting wrongs.
Mm-hmm.
So the associations of jasper is very good.
All right. So just to repeat this, it's crossroads dirt from the four corners of a crossroad. A red jasper. It could be tumble polished. It could be even a little amulet-shaped piece. In other words, like a little turtle carved out of red jasper. I have one of those. I happen to like it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A little crystal ball. It could be a ring or a pendant with red jasper in it that you're going to empower and you're going to wear it. You're going to bury that thing in the dirt, in the four crossroads dirt. You're going to plunge the orange candle that's dressed with uncrossing oil. Is that what you said was uncrossing oil, right?
Uncrossing oil. Lucky Mojo uncrossing oil.
Okay. And then you're going to burn that candle while you concentrate on that stone and let the spell just radiate out from that stone. When the candle burns down, you're going to sense the stone in the incense, and then you're going to wash it in spring water, and then you can wear it, carry it, or do whatever you want to. Wow, that's really good. Ollie, what do you think about this one?
I'm loving it. I really enjoy, you know, you took the words right out of my mouth and you mentioned the elemental composition of the work, and I went, oh, that's a great way of working because it does cover all the quarters and it makes sure that any type of work that's being done, it's dealing with it, right? Whether it's prayer work or work with air or work with fire. So I love it. I think it's absolutely great. And
you pointed out something else too. Speaking the prayer is another function of the air. Just had to say that. Okay, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Just briefly that I love, I was writing it down because I don't work with stones that way. So it's very new to me. I love it.
Oh, good. Well, I love it too. This is really fantastic. All right. Hope you guys all caught the notes. It's in the chat. If you need help, you can always ask Nagashiva for the chat logs if you're missing it. Or if you listen to this in archives, you can just run your little cursor thing back and listen again. You get all the ingredients. It's a great spell. Thank you, John. We're going to turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee, and she's going to take us out.
Thank you, Ms. Kat and Conjurman Ali, and thank you, John St. Germain of johnstgermain.com in Knoxville, Tennessee, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. And we invite you to tune in next week when our special guest member from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers will be Deacon Millett of fouralters.org. And he'll be telling us about his new book, Hoodoo, Return and Reconciliation. Once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat by the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TrevorConConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The shows are available in archive via theluckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. I want to ask everybody who hears this to say a prayer for Brenda and Christopher. They're really in our hearts. And all of you who are members of the Crystal Sounds League, go down to crystalsoundsleague.org and post a prayer for Brenda and Christopher. Would you do that for me? More prayers, the better. They need the prayers. And, you know, we'll be praying for you folks and hoping that everything goes as good as it can possibly go.
This is the meaning of community.
That's right. That's what community is all about. All right. Well, and I want to say a special shout-out to everybody in the shop who's down there filling orders and packages. We're doing the best we can. Love you all. And I think that's about it for this week. So good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.